Tempe of the Mic 9, 10 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard. I'm trying to start this show with a little enthusiasm these days. You know, we're not going slow. It's all gas, no brakes. 2 hours with you until AWOD Radio. At noon, Grant and Danny drive you home. Important September baseball tonight on The Fan. Didn't go the way we thought it would go last night. That's all right. Altoona's a good team. But it's not the getting knocked down that defines a champion. It's the getting back up. Tonight's the night. Trey Wilson joins us at 11 o'clock for Tuesdays with Trey. That Zach Joachim has graciously agreed to bump to 11:15 to accommodate Tuesdays with Trey on Wednesday. It's a weird week. We'll make it through together. We have, for the first time all year, Play Chesterfield, our weekly segment spotlighting the best of high school sports in Chesterfield County at 10:30. Set your watch, set an alarm. Do not miss the first installment of our Play Chesterfield series. We'll be doing that every Wednesday between now and the end of the high school sports season. Lots going on. Today we'll get out to Ashburn, where the first game week practice takes place shortly after this show ends. Josh Connerly, top of the depth chart. Debo Samuel returning kicks for the Commanders this year. That's a wrinkle we didn't see coming. We'll dive into that. We've got a lot of college football to get to. Virginia Tech, you know, was it a break glass in case of emergency? I'm afraid it gives me no pleasure to tell you. Virginia Tech has broken the glass. Held a players-only meeting to reset the team in advance of the Vanderbilt game. I'm going to tell you why that's a bad idea later in today's show. UVA getting ready for its game week against NC State. We're not discounting the Coastal Carolina win. It's a very nice win for the Wahoos. Certainly a higher tier of competition awaiting them in the Wolfpack on Saturday. We're going to learn a lot about both teams, learn a lot about the ACC as a whole as we get you ready for week two of college football. Micah Parsons in Green Bay, we've got an eye on that since in exactly 1 week this show will be live from Lambeau. That is sneaking up on us. That is a thing that is actively going to happen very soon. Micah Parsons has chosen his number in Green Bay. He's going to wear number one with the Packers. He is the first player to wear number one since Curly Lambeau in 1926. Yeah, it's like that. That's a tradition-steeped franchise. You're breaking out the number for the first time in 99 years? You better be special. Better be a special player. Jerry Jones says he'd rather have five Micah Parsons-sized ducks than one duck-sized Micah Parsons, or whatever that bit is. Jerry wants the numbers. He doesn't want one Micah Parsons. He wants five mystery box guys. Good for Jerry. I think the Packers will enjoy their one Micah Parsons. It's a human-sized Micah Parsons, not five duck-sized Micah Parsons. That's the bit. We'll see if we have time to check in on VCU basketball today. Big commitment yesterday. I'm also fascinated by the Kawhi Leonard story. We'll dive into that as well. But last night was a big night because it was Odyssey Fantasy Football night. Hazel's right here with me, and I think obviously we got to get this out of the way early. Last year, there were a number of controversial elements of the league, including we had two commissioners.
Indeed.
Which is a little bit like having two quarterbacks. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. We had two commissioners. There was no commissioner. You and I played each other in week one. You won, setting the tone for me losing basically every single game the rest of the year. It was a rough season, I guess is what I'm saying.
You're in your rebuilding era.
Rebuilding shouldn't take this long, but here we are. You do the draft last night, and I see, what do you know? I play Hazel again in week one. I have the same draft pick as last year. You have the same draft pick as last year, right?
Yep.
Somebody's asleep at the wheel.
Nobody
shuffled the deck. The deck is not shuffled, which should be an advantage, but it's not. After you draft, Yahoo gives you the draft report card.
Oh, and they email it directly to you.
You can't miss it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I did a fantasy draft last week. I was graded a D-.
Okay.
I thought that was a little disrespectful for your guy, MP. I am a football expert. That's my literal job title. I sit here every day and talk to y'all about football. And I think I know football. Like, there's very few things I think I know in life. I work at the Richmonder. We try to untangle city finances. And a lot of my phone calls start with, I'm going to ask you a lot of dumb questions because I don't know what I'm looking at here. And we get there. I don't know home repair. I don't think I could change my oil if I like. I get that it seems easy.
Sure.
But I've outsourced that for long enough. I don't think I could change my oil. I know football. I know few things in this life, but one of them is football.
D minus, huh?
Yeah, that was better than I did yesterday. I was given an F.
An F
for my draft yesterday.
Wow.
An F.
That is pretty disrespectful.
That's disrespectful. Mm. I drafted first overall. I don't think I botched it. I took Ja'Marr Chase. I think that's what you're supposed to do, number one overall.
Yep.
So you don't pick for a while. You hang back. It came back to me, and I took Brock Bowers with the 24th pick. I'm prepared to defend that.
You should be.
He's a very good football player. And it's a position where you get marginal value on everybody else because everybody else doesn't have a tight end as good as Brock Bowers.
This is true.
I'm prepared to go to the map for this selection. So you get to pick twice.
Yeah.
I'm still on the clock.
Go crazy.
Gary Hess and I were talking about this morning. So my guy this year, circle him, watch for the breakout, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That's my guy this year. He's going to have a year, okay? I said that about Saquon Barkley last year. So just everybody keep in mind, your boy MP knows a thing or two about the game. He was projected to be a fourth-round selection, okay? I'm not picking again for months, the way this draft was set up. It was a little tedious, just saying.
It was a little slow.
It was a little tedious, just saying. If I want him, I got to go get him. That's my guy.
Yep.
I went and got him. I don't think Yahoo liked that. Stand by that selection. It was a good selection.
Knocked you down a few grades, though.
It did. Wait. It's running back time now. I got Isaiah Pacheco.
Okay.
He's going to score touchdowns in Kansas City. I don't see where this went wrong. And then I log in. There's 12 teams. One of them gets an F grade. My guy, the big fajita downstairs, that's Rich Herrera.
Oh.
Got a D. Zach McHugh, my boss here, got a D. Money Mac got a D. Okay? I don't know who Money Mac is. Do you?
I don't.
No, there's people in this building I've never met, apparently.
I think it's Owen.
Great.
Yeah.
Owen got a D. Owen's in sales. We appreciate what he does for this company.
He's not a football expert.
Well, that's it. That's a bit of an issue, right? Because I am a football expert. That's what I'm saying. Owen has no shame in getting a D.
Uh-huh.
I have shame. Shame. F. Only F. Three Ds. Everybody else, A, B, or C. Those are passing.
We're going to get you the scarlet letter.
Those are passing grades. And then it does the little AI write-up for you. It seems he's trying to compete for the top pick in next year's draft instead of a playoff spot. You might want to invest in a crystal ball for the next draft. Who knew that drafting players from the same team could lead to such a lack of diversity in performance?
Wow.
Talk about putting all your eggs in one basket.
They got a sassy AI over there.
All right. Sassy AI says with two players on bye in week 10, it looks like their roster will be more of a ghost town than a fantasy powerhouse.
Two.
Is this revenge for my comments on AI a couple weeks ago?
It's possible.
Seems possible. It's not the getting knocked down. It's the getting back up that defines a champion. I will get back up again next year. Next year's my year.
Competing for that number one draft pick for the third year in a row.
And if we keep not shuffling, I like my chances. Looking forward to our week one matchup next year. Exactly. Play Chesterfield coming up in 20 minutes. Set your watch. It's one of our favorite segments. It is back. After a summer vacation, we will take a trip to Blacksburg after this break. It's players-only meeting time at Virginia Tech. And which famous quarterback did Tony Elliott compare this week's opponent to? The answer will surprise you and probably make you shake your head. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Empty on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Game week in college football, game week in pro football. You'll hear Commanders Giants on Sunday on 96.1 FM. It's the big opener. Can't go undefeated if you don't win the first one. Virginia Tech did not win the first one. They did, however, break the glass. It's time they called a players-only meeting earlier this week. Now, there's a little strategy on the players-only meeting for you. This is a freebie, Kyron Drones. Most teams call the players-only meeting before a game they know they will win. You air the grievances, you get everybody on the same page, then you go win the game. The players-only meeting should be called before the Old Dominion game because you're going to win that. If you don't win that, everybody's getting fired anyway. It doesn't matter. That's when you call the players-only meeting. The Nationals called the players-only meeting right before they played the Colorado Rockies, worst team in baseball. Then they lost to them. It didn't work out. Everybody got fired, right? You see how this works. That's the last bullet in the chamber is the players-only meeting. It's not the first. It's not a, like, oh, man, you know, like, my arm's hurting. Like, we got to amputate it. Like, that's the last option. We're going to try pills first. We're going to try working on it first. We're going to try stitching it up. We're going to try putting it in a cast. If none of those things work, we're going to amputate your arm. We'll get there eventually. Y'all ain't there yet. Just saying, you lost to a top 10 football team in front of a crowd that was largely their crowd, and the guy had family ties back to the school and was extra motivated to win. And they didn't look terrible doing it. I'll say it. They made all the mistakes they made for the last 3 years, and that's very concerning. You are allowed to be very concerned about the Hokie team you saw on Sunday against South Carolina, because those are the same mistakes we keep saying that can't happen again, and then they happened again. But you got Vandy. Vandy's a big game. You're at home. This is a team you lost to last year by making those mistakes you always make. This is a great opportunity to fix that. So let's check in with Brent Pry. He's the coach, Hokie football. He's in charge here, breaking down what he saw, what's going to happen on the short week here, because they played Sunday, got right back into it with a Monday practice. Here's Brent Pry.
Yeah, so we went back. You know, we've had a couple of models on a short week, but we went back to the Miami week last year after the Rutgers game and kind of how we approached that. You know, you lose that off day, which isn't just for your players. You can do some recovery, take some things off of practice Tuesday and Wednesday. But for your coaches, that's a full day of preparation. So everybody's kind of doubled down there. But it's a balance of giving enough reps where we can get a feel for their offense, their defense, their kicking game, get a little bit of compete against each other to make sure we don't lose that. But most of our attention will be, you know, with our look squads getting ready for their particular schemes.
Is there a certain challenge for this coaching staff and getting this team to put last week's game behind? It was one that you had prepared so long for in the season, have the result you don't want, and then get ready in 6 days.
Yeah, I think a lot of times that's the case. You know, you do spend more time on week one. And you know, we got into Vanderbilt a little bit in preseason camp. Just some uniqueness with their offense. But, you know, that's why I like that we practice the day after the game. We go out, we make corrections. We introduced Vanderbilt at the end of practice last night and spent 15 minutes, you know, working on those guys, kind of, you know, move on. Close one chapter, open the next, and, you know, get ready for these guys. The guys are excited to be at home, to play at Lane Stadium. They're excited to play Vanderbilt again. They're excited to, you know, to play a second SEC opponent. You know, Diego Pavia, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the country, in my opinion. We saw it firsthand. You know, he took down number one Alabama last year, had a great year. He looks even better to me right now. You know, he's a dual threat guy again this week that can beat you with his legs, beat you with his arms. He's got a nice arsenal of receivers. They've got good speed, particularly the Sherrill kid we know. The running back looked fantastic in week one. The tight end's one of the better ones in the country. They got all their linebackers back. They got both corners back. I think 96, one of their best D linemen, and then five didn't play in the opener. He's a 6'7" guy, imposing presence. You know, we got our hands full. It's a very talented football team.
Okay, Vanderbilt, 2025 Vanderbilt. Apparently the 2007 New England Patriots reincarnated here. Right? I don't know how you're going to hang with that. That sounds pretty good. He doesn't just beat you. He takes your legs off. And they're not just big. They're 6'7". It's a field of giants out there. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? It's a big game. Diego Pavia, by the way, has been in college football forever. Remember the thing where he peed on the practice facility at New Mexico? You'd shake in your head. That's a real thing that happened. When he was a quarterback at New Mexico State, he snuck into New Mexico's practice facility, the rival, and peed on the field, but was caught doing it by the security footage.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, yes.
That is not ever something you want to watch played back in a room with someone looking at you, judging your decisions.
It was ahead of the rivalry game. So that's the edge. That's what you're dealing with this week. It could be anything. He's
Phantom Pier.
Beware the pier in the middle of the night. Yeah, it's what we're dealing with here this weekend. He was great last year against the Hokies. Now, I think the Hokie defense was very, very good last week. I thought the Hokie defense was, above my expectations, certainly. New coordinator in Steve Kiss. I thought he called a very good game. I thought after that first drive where South Carolina marched right down the field, they didn't do that again the rest of the day. And I think credit to the defense finding ways to pressure them. By the way, it's all about different looks. It's funny to me, something I noticed during the Bill Belichick game. Set the balloon arch aside for a second. That was my favorite part of the Bill Belichick game, obviously. But in the Bill Belichick game, everybody was so high on Matt Patricia on Saturday, Ohio State defensive coordinator. He confused Arch Manning. He was throwing stuff at Arch Manning he'd never seen before. So the base look on that Ohio State defense, it's called the penny. It's the penny because there's one linebacker. Normally you got at least two, sometimes three linebackers. They had five guys on the line of scrimmage getting after the quarterback in various combinations, which is really hard to deal with. But not unprecedented in the annals of college football. He didn't do anything that had never been done before. He just did it really well, and they got some great athletes. But, he's running that NFL-style defense. Whew, he's got Arch Manning guessing. And then it was like, well, wait, he trained under Bill Belichick. What's Bill Belichick going to do? But it was fascinating to watch Bill Belichick's defense, which was called by Steve Belichick, on Monday night was the penny look. One linebacker, five up front doing the things. I don't recall anybody talking after the game about how innovative or great that is. It turns out the players you have very much still matter in terms of executing the scheme. Also, TCU's quarterback played better than Arch Manning. I said it. We're done defending Arch Manning. You'd say whatever you want about Sark. You'd say whatever you want about Matt Patricia. Arch was bad, and we need to say that so we can move on. He's not going to be bad forever. He might be really good this week. He might turn it around and win the Heisman. These are all things that are in play for Arch Manning. It's a disservice to the national dialogue to blame other people for a bad outing by a quarterback. That's all I got on Arch. Diego Pavia is a very good quarterback. Tech's going to need to bring their A game. They did against South Carolina, and Sellers, who's one of the top guys, I think he could be in the Heisman mix if South Carolina's at the top of the SEC at the end of the year. That feels very plausible to me. I think they'll be ready for Diego Pavia. I think this is about four full quarters of football. We've seen the lapses. We saw the lapses last year at Vandy. We've seen slow starts. We've seen slow finishes. We've seen slow going into halftimes from this team. They struggle to put together 3.5 hours of football. It's a lot of football. They've got to do it. They've got to beat Vandy. The players-only meeting has been called. There's only two outcomes from here. You win or you amputate. That's it. That's all. That's the option for Brent Pry. I don't think you're coming back if you lose this football game. I know there's a lot of football left. I know there's some big games left. We saw everybody look as good as we thought they would in week one. Later in the schedule, Florida State looked good. Miami looked good. Louisville is probably going to crush JMU on Friday. We'll see. That's going to be a fascinating one to watch. But if they do, that's how it goes. You play the games on the schedule. Their final three before that UVA game is not stacking up well for Virginia Tech is an all-or-nothing situation here, and they're trending towards nothing. Virginia Tech football, you'll hear it Saturday, right here on The Fan, Saturday night, under the lights, Lane Stadium. Big early season game. I will not allow people who declare the South Carolina game to be a retroactive big game. It was not. We thought they were going to lose. They did lose. You're allowed to be mad about all the stuff they do that's really aggravating. But you're not allowed to be, they should have won that game. I hold that against Brent Pry. They were not supposed to win that game, and they didn't win that game. They are supposed to win this game. Home crowd, great opportunity to build momentum into the season. Got to have it Saturday night in Lane. And then, of course, Sunday, Commanders opener against the Giants. You hear that on 96.1. We'll be all over it all week long. We'll get you to Ashburn. We'll get you ready for that one. But first, on the other side, this show rolls on. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
I'm going to linger on this.
But Rich Herrera, he works downstairs. He hosts Richmond Morning News. His draft was rated better than my draft, okay? So the computer is like, this guy knows football. You, MP, you don't know football. You get an F. You're out. Christian McCaffrey, first-round pick. That's fine. He picked 7. That's defensible. I have no issues with that. Second round, Brock Purdy, quarterback. Fourth round, Travis Kelce, tight end. Fifth round, Tyler Loop, Baltimore kicker. Seventh round, Baltimore defense. By the way, he still hasn't drafted a wide receiver yet. Doesn't get his second receiver until the 11th round. It's Michael Pittman Jr. And the computer looks at that and is like, now that's how you put together a football team. And better than mine, right? That's an insane draft by any metric. And it's better than mine. I missed one pick in the draft, and it auto-picked for me in round 10, Justin Fields. Sure, whatever. It was time to get a quarterback. He was out there. I don't care. All the quarterbacks are the same if you don't have one of the 5 good ones. Yahoo says that's my only good pick of the draft. Luckily, you were able to get Justin Fields in the 10th round. If it weren't for that, whew, this thing would be a disaster. Disaster. I'm over it. I'm not over it. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We love our friends in Chesterfield. Play Chesterfield Season 2 kicking off today. Grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. If you missed J.C. Bowman, Dr. John Phillips, Thomas Dale joins the program next Wednesday, 10:30. By the way, we won't be here next Wednesday. We'll be at Lambeau, first of 3, live from Lambeau shows next Wednesday at 10:30. We will still make time for our friends at Chesterfield because that is what we do. Hazel, Frontier Airlines is not known for being the nicest of all the airlines. That's not their reputation, but they are the cheapest of all the airlines. Has found a way to board planes faster while cutting costs.
Ooh.
Frontier Airlines is going to stop using the jet bridge. When it is time to board a Frontier Airlines flight, this is not a bit, this is not The Onion. When it is time to board a Frontier Airlines flight, you'll walk down a flight of stairs, and then they'll pull the stairs up to the plane, and you'll walk up the stairs to get on the plane. This is faster and cheaper of a way to board a plane than having the guy run the jet bridge for you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're cutting costs here.
I assume a jet bridge is expensive.
Jet bridge has got to be expensive. They're not just boarding the front of the plane either. They're going to open the emergency door in the back.
Yeah.
Put stairs there too.
Shove them in there.
Double the speed.
Yeah.
Frontier Airlines boarding pattern.
And it's just a ladder. Boom.
I've been on ladders before.
Yeah. Cheaper than a jet bridge.
Cheaper,
for sure.
Cheaper than a jet bridge.
You know I'm from Oregon. And the airport that I fly into is so tiny, all of the planes, we just get down off the stairs.
Oh, yeah. Charlottesville's got that. Charlottesville doesn't have a jet bridge. They pull out the stairs.
And guess what? It works just fine.
People are whiners.
They do, the airport that I fly out of, they do post somebody at the plane that checks your ticket to make sure you're getting on the right plane. Because when you're just walking on the tarmac, apparently people just choose a plane, walk onto it. So they have to double check.
That's a really good cost reduction strategy. Buy a ticket to Portland, fly to New York.
Right. Well, unfortunately, they're catching you.
Unfortunately, somebody had to ruin this for everybody.
Seriously. You could have just kept your head down, not complained about wherever you ended up.
I like that. Random flight. Would you get on a random flight? Here's the deal. Buy the ticket. You're going to the airport. It'll be a top 100 American city.
Okay.
That's the deal.
Then yes.
I'm in.
We'll figure it out from there.
I'm 100%
in. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you be?
That, load the front, load the back. Just throw me in there.
What else do you need?
Somebody climbs in the wheel well. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, when we fly to Lambeau, we're doing Southwest. That'll be my last time doing the cattle call boarding, which I never enjoyed. I know the Southwest loyalists out there.
There are some.
Oh, yeah. Sam Fortier, who covered the Commanders for the Washington Post, has been on this program, would only fly Southwest Airlines.
Really?
He was so loyal. When we flew to San Francisco, they didn't have any nonstops on Southwest. He connected in Denver just to fly Southwest.
No.
Instead of taking the nonstop on a normal airline.
You have to draw a line somewhere.
Well, now they've converted it to a normal airline. So who's laughing now?
Take that.
Nobody's laughing. It's a terrible situation. Nobody's laughing. Hour number two, pair of guests coming at you. We've got Tuesdays with Trey, special Wednesday edition, Squirrels 3.5 back. In the playoff, Chase will set the stage for some big games this week in Altoona. Zach Joachim joins the program at 11:15. He will want to talk about VCU basketball. I am prepared to let him today. They got a commitment. I want to learn about it. We're not going to have any issues today letting Zach Joachim talk about basketball. Dan Hurley says he considered walking away from UConn after last season because he felt, quote, cooked at the end of the season. You might remember he was offered the Lakers job, played it into this whole big thing. He very dramatically took his team into the locker room and was like, guys, I wanted to take the Lakers job, but I didn't. For you. And then he came out and gave his press conference. He's like, yeah, that was pretty dramatic. I was never going to take the Lakers job. Weirdly, that didn't become his best team at UConn. After winning the Natty 2 years in a row, he ended up losing three in Maui, disintegrated multiple times, multiple technicals over the course of the season. Said he felt cooked after last year, considered becoming an analyst for Fox Sports.
Oh.
That's a roller coaster ride right there.
Whoa.
That's...
They're taking anybody.
Could have been coach of the Lakers. doing Big East B games with RG3 on Fox Sports. That's a one-year fall for the ages right there. He's coming back to UConn, though. He's rediscovered his passion for coaching young men. We wish him the best this season. It's a game week in Ashburn. First of the season, Commanders, Giants. We've got a rookie at right tackle. What's that going to mean against this Giants line? We'll talk about that in half an hour. We'll do a little Commanders crosstalk with our guy Awad. Get you ready. 96.1 is the place to be on Sunday. 3 hour pregame, 3 hour postgame. Nobody does the Commanders like your friends at The Fan. We're back after this with hour number two. You're listening to 910 The Fan. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. That's where you can hear the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Every night, it's Tuesdays with Trey, who's kind enough to slide it to Wednesday as we shuffle around the schedule this week. He's in Altoona for some big baseball games. We've got postseason implication. We've got five to go against the curve. The Squirrels sitting in second place right now in the Eastern League Southwest Division. Trey, good morning. How's Altoona?
Altoona is Altoona. Good morning to you as well. It's football season up here. Everybody's in football mode, which takes me back to my years that I spent here because this was go time. This was playoff season, and it's exciting to have meaningful baseball in September, and it's nice to have a game go as poorly as last night's game went, and then kind of be mad about it. They kind of feel something in September. It's good. It's not something we get every year. You know, so few teams get in the playoffs in this league. Just to have a chance to get in is kind of tough. So just embracing the ride while we're in it right now.
3.5 back of Altoona, 5 games to go. You can do the math. It's right there in front of them. There's a way back into this thing, and we're not sleeping on next week either, because Hartford's coming for the final series at the Diamond, and they're a half game out of their playoff spot in the Northeast. We got big baseball both this week and next.
It could very well come down to the wire, and all the other teams that are in the mix are also playing meaningful games this week and next week for the most part. So it's gonna come down to to next week. The Squirrels lost last night. Third inning got a little bit ugly. Seven-run third inning. Lost 9-3. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, that's the same way that last week started. The Squirrels lost 10-1 with just a bad game, poorly played game last Tuesday against Akron in all fronts. Pitching, defense, hitting, everything was bad in that game. And that's kind of how last night's game went. And then the way that last week went was they won 5 straight after that. And if the Squirrels can win 4 or 5 of these next 5 games, they'll be in pretty good shape going into that final week next week. But this, you know, these last 5 games in Altoona this week are the last chance that you can directly impact your spot in playing the team that you're trying to chase down, which obviously you don't want to. You want to take as much of what you can control and take care of it, and not have to leave things up to needing some help from whoever's playing Altoona next week.
Well, we didn't need more juice on next week, but we've got it. That's for sure. It's going to be a lot of fun coming back to the Diamond one more time. And Squirrels have won 5 in a row at the Diamond, we would note. You alluded to that at the end of last week. Beautiful weather, great games. It was 7-run first inning on Sunday. That was a pretty nice way to start the game right there. We'll bring those good vibes back next week. Diamonds aren't forever. The farewell series. 6 final regular season games at the Diamond. Trey, I know y'all have been announcing what you're going to do for these games starting next Tuesday recently, but I also know this has been a long time in the making from your planning department as well.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we give this place a proper send-off. So many people have so many memories in the Diamond over the last 40 years. We want to celebrate all of that with everybody. The final home game, which is hopefully the final regular season home game, but the last game of the regular season on September 14th, that is sold out now. We've been rolling out some more promotions and all different kinds of things for the rest of the games next week, the 9th and the 13th. In fact, we're going to have a little bit more we're continuing to announce more elements to these games over these next few days, but there's all kinds of great stuff going on next week. There's the farewell t-shirt giveaway next Tuesday night, the farewell series t-shirt giveaway. There'll be a commemorative program next Wednesday. It's a little mini book talking about some of the history of the Diamond collector's edition type booklet that's coming next Wednesday night. The lapel pin giveaway next Thursday night, that's going to be pretty cool, kind of a throwback to the lapel pins that fans got from the first game at the Diamond back in 85. A bunch of other great stuff. Largest fireworks show in Squirrels history next Friday. The final fireworks show next Saturday. And like I said, we've got a little bit more that we're going to be announcing over these next few days. So keep your eyes peeled and come out and join us. Let's send the Diamond out in style. Let's pack the ballpark. The sales for all these games are looking great. If you're planning on coming, I said it, you know, for that Sunday game, the last game, for a little bit leading into us announcing that sellout, but those tickets were moving quickly. Now we're starting to see that for the games on Friday and Saturday as well and the rest of the week. So, encourage people to try, and if they're planning on coming out, to buy tickets in advance and come celebrate with us. It's going to be cool to see that place packed out a few more times and celebrate all the great memories we have there.
Our listeners were given sufficient warning that final game was going to sell out, and it did. Trey, letting you know now, if you want to go Saturday night for Clean Out the Closet night with a big fireworks show, the 1989 Our Braves Governor Cup champions in the house, or that Friday night game as well. Tickets moving fast as we count down to the end of the Richmond Flying Squirrels regular season and the final games at the Diamond. You've had some this days in histories of some of those accomplished Braves teams, the R Braves teams, and this is a place that hosted some pretty significant playoff and late season baseball games during that time span.
Yeah, we just had Steve Shields back last homestand, which was awesome. He pitched the very first game of the Diamond, but he also pitched a complete game shutout in the clincher of the 86 Governor's Cup Championship Series. The 89 team won the Governor's Cup with David Justice and Ron Gant and all those guys. 94, one of my favorite teams, and kind of going back and looking through all this, because there was more of a group of, you know, some scrappy, maybe overlooked players and some veteran guys after all the talk about the 93 team the year before with Chipper Jones and Javi Lopez and Ryan Klesko and all those guys. The 94 team, winning that championship with Grady Little was big. The 2007 team with our old hitting coach from the Squirrels, Doug Clark. It'd be great to add a Squirrels championship. It's a long line of titles at the Diamond. And there's a chance for that. That's also going to be part of the story next week, is that those games are also meaningful for the Squirrels trying to make a push into the postseason. It's been really cool this year to go back and talk to the people who are parts of a lot of these moments. Talking with Steve Shields, we're going to roll out an interview with him at some point soon. Obviously, we had the ones with John Smoltz and a bunch of those people earlier this year, with the Hall of Fame broadcaster John Miller talking about ESPN carrying the 1994 Governor's Cup during the strike, and ESPN's crew coming to the Diamond, their Sunday Night Baseball crew, and just going back and hearing that ESPN Sunday Night Baseball open soundtrack and seeing the graphics brought back so many memories, and talking with John Miller. And anytime I hear John's voice, even though we listen to it all the time now with him doing Giants games, it still kind of kicks the nostalgia button a little bit for growing up watching Sunday Night Baseball, getting that national game of the week, and getting to hear the stories from a lot of these people that I've read about and heard about from all these years, and hear their firsthand accounts of their memories at the Diamond has been really cool. And we've got a few more bullets in the chamber that we're going to fire on some of those stories, some of the things that we've recorded to share with everybody. We'll have them on our pregame show. We'll have them on the podcast. There's a lot of cool stories out there to be told.
My parents taped Sunday Night Baseball on a VHS tape, and I'm told that when I would get out of control or a little rambunctious or whatever, they would play that. So I'd go sit down and shut up in front of the TV, because I did not miss Sunday Night Baseball with John Miller. That was an institution. That was a great interview, too. And I know y'all play them during the pre-games on The Fan, but also you've got the Funville 9 podcast to go check out those interviews and take a great trip down memory lane. Trey Wilson, of course, voice of the Squirrels, joining us as he does each week to set the table. Diamonds aren't forever. Farewell series last week. We'll see you out at the ballpark. That'll be a lot of fun. But, of course, before that, lock in. Five more in Altoona. Squirrels 3.5 back of that playoff spot. So you're saying there's a chance. You want to set the stage here for what we've got tonight?
Yeah, tonight we'll see Ryan Murphy make his first start for the Squirrels in a long time. He had an elbow injury, missed the back half of last year and most of this year. He pitched out of the bullpen the other day. It went pretty well. So he's going to start tonight. I don't know if he's going to be able to go maybe three or four innings. I haven't gotten a full update on what he's going to be able to do as they kind of build his workload back up. But, like I said, the Squirrels have been playing really, really good baseball, except for whatever reason on Tuesdays. So last night got really sloppy in the third inning, and Altoona had – 7 runs that frame. The rest of the game was pretty competitive, but it's hard to overcome a 7-run inning. Same thing happened to the Squirrels on the good side on Sunday. Kind of took all the nervousness out of Sunday's game real quick. But they've been playing really, really well. They're playing a tough Altoona team this week that has the number one prospect in all of baseball, Connor Griffin. He's 19 years old. He's already in Double A. This is really a clash of the two best teams in this second half, the two teams that have been playing the best baseball, which is really funny because these are also the two teams that were the absolute worst teams in the division in the first half of this season, and a product of this split season format that the Eastern League uses. You get a second chance. The Squirrels have put themselves in position to be in the conversation, which makes September a lot more fun. If we're going to stretch the season out past Labor Day, a couple weeks down, it used to always end on Labor Day, at least have some games that mean something. Development always means something, but it's a lot more fun for us when you have a chance to to maybe make this an historic season on top of all the other history that we've been talking about this year. It'd be really cool to send the diamond out with a playoff run. So that's what this next week and a half is going to be about from the baseball side.
Yeah, you'll catch it every night right here on The Fan. Trey and Blaine on the call, and whichever team gets that playoff spot is going to be plowing into the postseason with loads of momentum because they're going to need to get hot in these final 11 games. Trey Wilson, we'll catch you on The Fan tonight. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Talk to you all tonight.
Yeah, you'll catch him and Blaine on the call. AAA pregame, 5:35, Flying Squirrels baseball tonight in Altoona. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to bringing them back home for the welcome back series next, or the farewell series. They welcome back. It's farewell time next week. At any rate, we got to take a break. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.